Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Your comments make the show better. Send us your thoughts live on our Facebook channel to be the star of today's show. Can't catch us live? Hit us up on our other social media channels to have your say. For now, welcome to the Rod Peterson Show.
On the side of the set, and the ageless Derek Duke Myers. Hey, Duke.
It changes every week. It was Paul Schaefer. It was Robin Givens. Robin Quivers, not Robin Givens.
Batman's yeah. Robin Givens is coming up.
I'm okay as long as we got coffee.
Welcome, everybody, to the program on this Tuesday, June 18th, to the Rod Peterson Show. We're emanating from the bunker north of Dewdney, North Regina. It is show number 12. And coming up on today's program, Jay Onwright of TSN's award-winning Jay and Dan show. As a matter of fact, he's on the line. We're going to get to him in moments. Ryder Hall of Famer Wes Cates will be with us. Canadian Football Hall of Famer Milt Stegall. And a little bomber talk. My rant yesterday about the Grey Cup parade in Winnipeg not going over too well. But speaking of parades, we got to talk about the Raptors on today's program, of course, and yesterday's parade, marred by the shooting, of course. The best part is today, 24 hours later, nobody's talking about the shooting that I can tell. News in the NHL, Dallas Eakin's going to be the next head coach of the Anaheim Ducks. Erik Karlsson staying in San Jose. Jacob Trouba on his way to the New York Rangers. We'll talk about all that. And I was told the head coach of the Edmonton Oilers, Dave Tippett, will be with us later on in the program in Hour 2. The pride of Moosom and Sask. And a lot of CFL news, like the fallout of the Simone Lawrence suspension yesterday. 2 games for his headshot on Zach Kolaros. Our Monday poll was who should start at quarterback Thursday for the Riders in Ottawa. The winner, guys, did you see who won that poll?
I didn't, but let me guess. Isaac Harker.
Yeah, Isaac Harker. He's been a Rider for a day. He's officially the most popular Rough Rider because he's the backup quarterback. Shocker. So we'll get into that. And I know, Derek, you had thoughts on the Simone Lawrence hit.
I will.
From Thursday night. But listen, I don't want to keep this guy waiting any longer. Can we bring in? Oh, he's not quite ready. So he's telling me in my ear that Jay Onwright, who's got a baby in his lap, his six-month-old child, not quite ready to join us yet. So Derek, where do you want to jump off into the deep end on all those topics there?
We can go most recent because we're going to need more time for Simone Lawrence. We can go most recent with the Raptors parade. Unbelievable. I know it was kind of marred at the end by, you know, some gunshots and a few people injured. But let's just put it in perspective. I think 1.5 million people. I mean, that is absolutely staggering. Watching it, though, and maybe, I don't know if this leads to your second life, Rod, when it comes to recovery coaching and stuff. But why do we continually celebrate Brett Hull bombed out of his mind singing Gloria at the St. Louis Blues Parade? Marc Gasol yesterday, clearly having the time of his life. And we embrace this.
The tweets going on about Kawhi Leonard smoking a cigar at 10:30 in the morning. Did you see that? And what a bad message this is sending, that the Raptors are smoking cigars and are still drunk at 10:30 in the morning. Here's me saying this. A, Charles Barkley 101. Pro athletes are not role models. If you're relying on the Toronto Raptors to raise your child, shame on you. A. And B, what it's telling kids is win it all. Do something with your life, and you can do whatever the hell you want. Am I wrong in saying that?
No, you're not wrong. No. And I'm, don't get me wrong. Hey, I don't want cameras on me when I'm in Vegas because I might be the guy cruising down the strip at 10:30 in the morning smoking a cigar.
You have been.
You know, with my brother.
Might be.
Yeah, with my brother hand in hand. But I'm not doing it in front of 1 million people in a worldwide audience. And I sometimes kind of find that curious. But hey, full marks to them. It looked like it was a great time and a great job by the city of Toronto for coming out to support their first win in, well, 30 years almost since the Blue Jays in the early 90s.
Speaking of Hogtown, the T-Dot, let's go there now. TSN's Jay Onwright joining us on video chat this morning. Hello, Jay. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show. Hi, my friend. How are you?
Great. You look fantastic.
Are you stopping there?
That's it. That's all I've got.
Listen, how is Toronto in the aftermath of the Raptors championship? What's it like right there in the epicenter?
Well, it's very obviously the whole city's been completely captivated by this team, Rod. You know, the parade yesterday was so poorly organized, it's actually left a little bit of a damper on things. I mean, just the concept of bringing barricades to the parade, like had they, Dan and I were talking about this yesterday, surely they could have talked to the Santa Claus parade people about this. I realize it's a slightly different scale, but they might have told them, listen, if you're going to have 2 million people downtown, you might want to get a bunch of barricades. And they didn't do that. And the parade moved at a ridiculous snail's pace, 5 hours long. People were packed into Nathan Phillips Square. It was dangerous. And then, of course, you had the shooter who came, you know, with two handguns, like, you know, complete idiots. And four people were hurt. Thankfully, no one was killed. But, you know, in term, you know, I'm trying to be positive about it, but I just can't believe how poorly organized that parade was. You know, everyone has joked, and I'm sure you guys have joked, like I have for decades, about how the Leafs have been planning a parade for decades, since 1967. So you would think they would have this parade planned pretty well, this city. And so the fact that they didn't was a bit disappointing. But in terms of captivating the city, it reminds me a lot of about 5 years ago or 6 years ago, 05, 06, when the Blue Jays were going on those playoff runs. And I would come to speaking engagements in Saskatchewan, and I would see so many Blue Jays hats in Regina and so many Blue Jays hats in Saskatoon. And I thought, man, this is like 92, 93, like the Jays have recaptured the attention of the entire country again. And that's what it seems to be like with the Raptors. They've actually gone coast to coast. I mean, those watch parties at Mosaic Stadium just blew our minds. You know, on a night, especially game six, when the Riders were playing their home opener, not their home opener, but their CFL opener. So I just think it's a wonderful thing. And hopefully it results in lots of great Canadian basketball players down the road.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. And we were very proud of the way Mosaic Stadium looked and the way our province represented itself. And you made the segue there of you coming out here. You guys, you and Dan looked excited that the Stanley Cup's coming to Saskatchewan three times this summer with the three Blues. What is it that you guys love about this place? You know how we feel about you guys, but it really seems to be reciprocated. Why is that?
Well, I think, you know, my whole family's originally from Saskatchewan. My mom and dad are both from Balcarres near Fort Capel. And so my whole family, both sides, Saskatchewan, those are my roots. And I've gone there for years and years and years. And then I always told Dan, you know, of all the places, we go all over the country doing speaking engagements. And I always said, Saskatoon and Regina are our kind of cities because you not only do the speaking engagement, but whoever hosts you insists on making sure that you stay out with them all night and have a very good time. And we always do. And I always go back, Rod, to we did the Kraft Celebration Tour where we took the show on the road for a few years there. And, you know, sometimes we'd go west and sometimes we'd go east. And the years that we would go east, you know, it's cliche, but the Atlantic Canadian stops are always the best because you just, we'd go to towns where they would insist on not letting you leave until you had a very, very good time. I don't have to elaborate, but they insisted on that. Exactly the same with Saskatchewan.
Right.
Yeah, you get it. Saskatchewan is exactly the same way. And in many ways, I feel like people in Saskatchewan are so similar to Atlantic Canadians in that they don't just want you to come to their town and perform or speak or whatever. They want to make sure that you have an excellent time when you get there. And so when we did the Kraft Celebration Tour and our Saskatchewan stops, we without a doubt had an excellent time.
Jay, we'll let you go. I know you only had a few moments, but your child is so quiet. Did you sedate that child?
He's so chill. I'm going to try to get a shot of him for you.
Okay.
A little cough syrup there this morning.
Oh,
a little
extra cough. Sorry. You know what? I can't. My wife's breastfeeding him. So
Whoa, it's a family show.
Say hi to Chobi for me. I think her memories of Estevan aren't as great as yours because she was riding herd on you that night, as I recall.
Yes, you have a great memory, Rod. I have to say, that's very impressive. I was actually hoping you might forget that.
I'm surprised you remember. Jay, look, I'll let you go. Loving what you're doing, and thanks for finding some time for us 306 folk.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime, Rod. Love seeing you do this. This is very cool.
All right. Thank you, Jay. Jay Onwright from Toronto joining us on video chat. Wasn't that something?
We almost had to put up the censored graphic. I thought we didn't know where we were going there for
Jay Onright rode a donkey in Esteban that night, as I recall. Rode it. There's video of it, actually, which I don't think you're supposed to do. But
you can. I'm a mule, isn't that?
On the topic of segues here, one of the other interesting tweets that I saw in the last 24 hours had to do with Drake. Clearly, he's getting a ring. He is a Raptors staffer as global ambassador.
Yes.
And somebody said, why can't he do the same thing for the Toronto Argonauts? The MLSC owns the Raptors. They own the Leafs. They own the Argos. Mm. Why could Drake not maybe pull in some Toronto sports fans for the Toronto Argonauts?
Why not? What's in it for him? I mean, he clearly loves basketball. That's his sport.
Fair. Mm-hmm.
So it's not just him doing this for cash or for notoriety. I mean, I think the guy is an honest-to-goodness fan. Like, he's all in on this. He doesn't have to go to Jurassic Park for those games. I mean, he could watch that in the privacy of his own home and have their, you know, whatever they're drinking and whatever they're, you know, he doesn't have to be. He enjoys it. And I think he gets wrapped up in it. It's not like this is the first season he's there. Is he a football guy? You know,
Does it matter?
The authenticity? You know, people sniff out a faker. I mean, you know, you do smell that out when there is that kind of that stench in the air. You know, nobody wants to be associated with that, too. You're a poser. He already has a tough enough time overcoming being on Degrassi Junior High
right. And
being Aubrey. You know, people still give him, you know, hell about that. To not be a poser. I don't think he's a poser here. I think he's an honest-to-goodness Raptors fan who gets caught up in it.
I'm glad I brought that up. You've explained very well why that might not work.
Yeah.
It's a chicken and an egg thing, though. I mean, I think that part of it is the notoriety of being, you know, in courtside at an NBA game,
sure,
being one of those stars for sure. Yeah, he loves the team. I think he would catch on. He's a Toronto guy. He would catch on to the Argonauts if they became the hot ticket. And it's the whole thing about, well, these teams need more media coverage. If they got more media coverage, more fans would come out. But it's a chicken and egg thing. The media doesn't want to cover something that the fans aren't interested in yet. So it comes down to the people who have an actual financial investment, or they've just got skin in the game. It's the teams. They have to find a way to create some of that pizzazz and create a reason for fans to get excited and for the media to come out.
Well, it's a good point. And I know my brother will be watching or listening this morning. The Cowboy, he just came back from Southern Ontario. He went to the Ryder game in Hamilton.
Nice.
And he hadn't spent a lot of time in Toronto, not as much as we have. And he said, as far as getting hype going for the Argos, I think his quote was, it's like barking up a dead horse's ass. I think that's the quote from my brother as far as trying to get hype for the Argos. So, you know, here's the sad thing about all that. Then Drake is just a typical Torontonian that doesn't care about the Argos. The odd thing is, though, I do believe they do love football in Toronto. I believe that. And as somebody pointed out to me not that long ago, within the last couple of years, they said, Rod, look who some of your closest friends are. Mike Abou-Meshrick, Luke Mullender, Dan Rasevich. The list of Toronto pro football players is long.
Mm-hmm.
So they do love football there. They just don't necessarily go to Argo games. I don't really understand why. From our friends at Good Sasky Apparel Company, writing in our Facebook feed, why is Saskatchewan so special? Good Sasky says, it's the people, the Good Sasky people, best on the planet. I absolutely believe that to be the case. And that's why I think this show is catching on. The whole world is peering into our little Saskatchewan program here every day, and they seem to be liking what they're seeing, except for in Winnipeg. And I just want to say this.
I'll probably
rant on this two or three times today. But I'm done with the hurting people's feelings argument, because I mentioned yesterday it's too early to plan parades in Winnipeg. I did get a tidal wave of backlash from most notably my friends in Winnipeg, that they're celebrating too early. But this show isn't going to last really long if I'm worried about hurting people's feelings. It's just not. And I'm going to let you in on a little secret. The most incorrigible, horrible things have been said about me over the years, professionally and personally. And you know what? They were all true. And it forced me to look in the mirror and repair myself. Sometimes the truth hurts. So come on. Your feelings are hurt. You know what happens when my feelings get hurt? I get told, get over it. So why does it matter so much that people are upset about what we're talking about on this program if that's how I feel? That's how we're going to roll here in the program. Fair?
It's been almost two decades of Winnipeg people getting their feelings hurt.
That reminds me, by the way, Clark has told me we have been hacked by a Winnipeg Blue Bombers fan.
No!
Video incoming. So,
Rod Peterson.
Now we can't hear him.
Rant yesterday. Now I'd expect something like that out of the mouth of Hollis Shame or John Lynch, but not you. You're held to a higher standard. You know the Canadian Football League. You know Canadian football. And you watched that dominant performance Saturday night by the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. All we heard for weeks and weeks and weeks was BC Lions this, Mike Riley that, BC Lions this, Mike Riley that. And then Winnipeg goes into BC and kicks them by 10 points. Not a fluky victory, a dominant performance. Now I know maybe you're a little bit upset because of what happened to the Saskatchewan Roughriders and Zach Collaris in Hamilton.
Well, can you?
That's no reason for you to take that out on the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. The parade will be scheduled in November. And you, my friend, will be on the first car sitting beside me. And you'll be wearing blue and gold. That, my friend, is a promise.
Okay. So, I couldn't hear Dave.
He said you're going to be wearing blue and gold.
I'm okay with that. That's LA Rams, right?
Oh, there you go.
Oh, St. Louis Blues. Listen, for everybody, are we cooking with gas this morning on the Rod Peterson Show. I'm enjoying it. Dave Patricians, the sports doctor from Winnipeg. Dave, thanks for paying attention to what I say. Not many do. But don't get your feelings hurt. It's like what Brett Wilson said to me at the Esteban Bruins dinner a few years ago. I said, with all the hate that you get, Brett, doesn't that bother you? And he said, no. It means people are paying attention to what I have to say.
Yeah.
So,
no such thing as bad publicity.
No. It probably feels like, I mean, maybe it doesn't look like we're a little out of sorts this morning here on the Rod Peterson Show. These two are fine. I'm not. I, as of 9:30, 30 minutes before we went to the air, had a wardrobe malfunction and had to race literally from one end of this city to the other. Race in Big Bird because I came in here wearing a Dolphins teal pullover.
And that includes the ring road traffic.
That includes construction on the ring road.
Were you sweating it a little? See,
not as much as these guys were.
I got to say, of all your years in the media business, and you did dabble in television a little bit, and of course you still have In the Huddle. That's such a rookie mistake to wear the green shirt, buddy.
Like, it's not green. It's Dolphins teal. I would have thought I would have got away with that. And they said, come sit on the set. Oh, you're a ghost. We can't see you. Because this is a green screen behind us, everybody. This show is not real. So anyways, I had to race back. So if you saw a yellow Jeep with what little hair I had waving in the wind, going up and down Ring Road to do a wardrobe change, that's why. So what did I get in here at 9:58, 9:59?
Yeah, right under the wire.
Yeah, and all of a sudden we've got two video guests right off the hop, Jay Onwright and Dave Patricia. We pulled it off. It's not Guy Fieri from the cooking show. Everybody thinks that the sports doctor
a little bit
is Guy Fieri.
Yes.
And I think he relishes that.
He was in here for his appearance last week. Or was it the week before?
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. But and it came up again, the Guy Fieri talk. And he embraces it, right? He even had the little bowling shirt on underneath his bomber jersey.
It just didn't
jersey.
Have flames on it.
I've eaten at his place in Vegas at the appearance. It's good.
Yeah. I've wanted
good
to.
Burger.
Haven't yet.
Yeah, you got to try it out.
Next time I go to Vegas, sports doc, you're coming with me. And we're going to roll down the strip. Imagine how many people would think it's Guy Fieri.
That would be kind of fun.
That would be so much fun. Anyways, I love the Facebook comments here from Craig in Regina. Get back to the kitchen, guy. Is that appropriate? From Tim, the Bomber fans are dreaming. I won't hold that against them. And Joseph Lozito, who's watching from New York this morning, says, I can speak firsthand on how amazing the people of Saskatchewan are, first class all the way. I don't know what it is about Saskatchewan people, but it just makes me so proud to be from here. It makes me so happy to live here. It just makes you feel safe. And I guess it kind of goes back to the Raptors parade yesterday. I was, for 12 hours after that parade, when I heard of the shots fired, I was just speechless. And I think most people were. I just don't know what to say. Do you guys have something? Because I still don't know what to say about that.
You know what? This is sad, and maybe this is where we've moved to in a social media world. But you become so inundated with this. I was like, I was just kind of numb. I was like, yeah, well, that's no surprise.
Of course.
And I mean, we should still be surprised by that. We still should be shocked by these things, especially in this country. We are not immune to such acts, no question about that. But we do think of ourselves. I mean, Ryan O'Reilly, for goodness sakes, drops an F-bomb and spends the rest of the interview profusely appalling. That's the type of people, yeah, not only Saskatchewan people, but Canadians are. So there is still that sense of horror and shock a bit. But unfortunately, I was just kind of like, yeah, you know, here we go again. In fact, I was kind of relieved when I was seeing active shooter and shots fired. I was expecting, and this is horrible to say because everybody that was involved, this was a very tragic and traumatic experience. I expected a lot worse carnage when I started hearing those things.
Yep.
And I'm relieved that it was,
yeah,
a couple of injuries, even though I don't mean to belittle anybody who was involved in that, make this smaller than it was, but you always think it's worse.
We need to break. So that is quite an opening warm-up.
Yeah.
With Jay Onwright and the Sports Doctor and everything else. We got a long ways to go today, including Wes Cates, Milt Stegall, and Dave Tippett. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and rodpeterson.com.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work, follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait, do it right now.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
You see them everywhere. Those awesomely massive decals around the city? Yep, that's Sleek. Those sweet-looking graphics on businesses, buses, and billboards? Sleek, sleek, sleek. Basically, if you want to go big, you go with Sleek Signs. SleekSigns.com.
Back and kicking it. Let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Sports update time on this Tuesday morning. A rough night for Edwin Jackson at Rogers Center. He failed to go a full inning and allowed 3 long balls and 7 runs and a 10-5 Blue Jays loss to the Angels. Justin Upton homered on Jackson's first pitch of the ball game. Cole Calhoun added another solo shot 2 pitches later, and it only got worse from there. Jackson only threw 38 pitches. David Phelps made his season debut for the Blue Jays, walking a batter and striking out 1 in the 7th inning of that 10-5 loss. Toronto activated the 32-year-old reliever from the injured list earlier in the day. Manny Machado homered and doubled a few hours after appealing a suspension handed down by Major League Baseball to lead the Padres over the Milwaukee Brewers 2-0. He was suspended 1 game and fined for making contact with the plate ump on Saturday. Machado said he didn't make contact and can continue to play until there's a final decision. Winnipeg Jets have parted ways with defenseman Jacob Trouba. He was shipped to the Rangers for defenseman Neil Pionk and the 20th overall pick at the upcoming NHL draft. Trouba is a restricted free agent and wasn't expected to stay long-term with Winnipeg. New Orleans Pelicans basketball operations chief David Griffin says the club is exercising its option to extend coach Alvin Gentry's contract through the 2020-2021 season. He worked with Gentry in Phoenix, where the two accomplished nothing when the veteran coach helped the Suns reach the Western Conference Finals. It was downhill after that. And Toronto police say four people were shot and wounded at a rally for the NBA champion Raptors, and three people were arrested. Droves of Raptors fans ran from the shooting in a stampede from the City Hall Square, which was packed with tens of thousands of people. Darren DuPont, got your hand in the air, yes?
Do we have a poll question for the day?
Poll question for the day is, what is Canada's game of the week in the CFL? I have not yet had time to tweet it because I had the wardrobe malfunction and I was rip-roaring all over this city. Clark says he's got it up on Twitter right now and our website, rodpeterson.com. Three games in the CFL this week. Saskatchewan at Ottawa, BC at Edmonton, and Toronto at Hamilton. Which is Canada's game?
BC at Edmonton.
No. Well, let's let the respondents
well, that's my pick.
Decide. Okay.
That's
you can vote in the poll.
Yeah, I will as soon as I get off here. But
I think the Western game will probably always win.
Well, Mike Rowley's return too, right?
Mike Rowley's return. I just thought the Toronto at Hamilton chutzpah, the Corey Chamberlain debut as head coach of the Argos. Please, folks, you decide what the Rod Peterson Show will refer to as Canada's game of the week in the CFL. Now, I've been waiting for Tuesday since last Thursday.
Wow.
When you tweeted that you've got thoughts on the Simone Lawrence headshot on Zach Collins. I've been waiting. Now, the suspension's been handed down. Two games for Lawrence. No word yet as of today, right now, whether he's going to appeal or not. So are your thoughts as fiery 4 days, 5 days later than they were Thursday night?
Absolutely. I mean, one, absolute joke, BS of a play, and then to actually go on television afterwards and say you're sorry and you never meant to hurt anybody. That's crap.
Super sorry.
It's crap. He was targeting all the way. This isn't a rookie looking to make a team. This is an 8-year veteran who knows exactly what he's doing. This guy is one of the better defensive players in the league, and he went out there to make a point and to pop his buddy. He led with his head down. Later in the game, he takes a shot at William Powell. Another clear spear to the back of the head. We don't have to go over the Henry Burris incident. This guy, personally, don't know Simone Lawrence. Professionally, it's a loser move, and two games is the typical CFL hedging their bets, trying to make everybody happy. It's crap. Get out there and give the guy a 6-game suspension. Do you care about player safety or do you not? Where's the CFLPA on this one? Of course, if there's an appeal, it is their job to represent him in an appeal. That is what they're bound by. But where is the statement saying we can't have our players doing this? You wonder why you don't get a good collective bargaining agreement? You guys can't even get together on the field to protect each other. On a simple play where a guy is going down, you know he's had this injury history in the past. He completely targeted him. Simone Lawrence, as far as I'm concerned, I wouldn't ever care if I saw him play in the CFL again. He's a dime a dozen player. They can get another linebacker in to fill that role. See you later, Simone.
Wow. Rack him.
it's
a beauty,
crap.
Clark.
Duke's rant
today. Good. I needed a day off.
And as soon as I saw Caleros take off, I said to myself, uh-oh. But then he started to slide, and I'm like, no, the smart play. He's not trying to, in the first series of the year, you know, be the guy to dive and do all this for a first down. He's doing the safe thing. All these split seconds, your mind kind of goes through these little things. And then you see Lawrence come in there, and it reminded me of the hit that he played for the Chiefs. Alex Smith took a few years ago where his head just bounced right off the turf. And I thought, oh my God, like this is it. And I instantly thought, that's it for Zach Collaros. I mean, he can make his own decisions, but I personally hope the guy takes into account his life after football. Like, you're not only hitting a guy, knocking him out for a few games, you're taking food off the table. This is cannibalism. You're eating your own out there, Simone Lawrence. It's just awful. And again, couldn't care less.
Well, you
I ever
need
saw the
to
guy.
Present before the CFL's Player Safety Committee because you've just convinced me that it should be a 6-game suspension. I was advocating for one because they never really suspend anybody.
Exactly.
Tyree Zaber was the last one. So for them to come out with two, which I hope it stays two, I hope that it's not appealed and it ends up one or none. I hope he sits at least the 2 games. But you're right. He's a dangerous player. With Zach sliding, all he had to do was touch him, and the play's over.
He doesn't have to touch him. If he slides, he's down. The other thing is, okay, you want to give him 2 games? The Riders get to pick which 2 games then. It's not automatically just the next two games.
Well, that'll never happen. Hold your jets.
But you want
now you're just talking crazy.
But you want to make a difference. You want to put the league. I get it. I get that the league doesn't care about player safety. The league cares about selling tickets, making money for their clubs. But the PA and the players should. And I'm glad to see players coming out and speaking out against this. I saw some of the riders. Alex Singleton
thinks he should never play again.
He ripped him. I like that. Good for some of these guys coming out because, like I said, it's cannibalism. You're eating your own out there.
I like it. Who's texting you, Dupes?
No, I wanted to pull up Troy Westwood's tweet from yesterday. Did you guys see it when he talked about the CFLPA? And that if Simone does appeal it, yeah, they're going to have to stand by him,
that's
too.
That's their job.
But they also have to stand with the league, too, in protecting player safety because that's also their job. So they're walking a fine line, and they have to make sure that
they
stand
never, ever stand up for the guy that's hurt.
But they have to stand up for both issues.
You don't ever, Marty McSorley appeals his slash on Donald Brashear. You never hear the PA come out and say, we can't have our guys doing this. You can't be whacking guys in the head. You can't be hitting sliding quarterbacks. There's a reason quarterbacks are making $400,000, $500,000, $600,000, $700,000. You ain't making that, Simone. Nobody's coming to watch you. You're taking food and money off of the plates and out of the bank accounts of every player in this league when you start doing crap like that.
And that was just Zach. You said he was headhunting on Powell too.
Burris a couple years ago. I mean, this guy, yeah. I know that he's never been I've never been charged with an offense. Yeah, okay, Mr. Ocean, but we know you've stolen all the money out of the casinos in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
You know, we know that. He's never been officially suspended. Yeah, well, okay.
Here's the tweet from Troy Westwood. If Lawrence appeals, the Players Association must represent him. This should not be all the Players Association does, though. The PA should also represent the larger collective will of the players as it relates to player safety. The PA should walk hand in hand with the CFL with this issue. I don't know that I even understand that. It's sing kumbaya. What are you saying? You're supporting Zach and Simone? I don't think you can. Maybe that's why there's been no appeal. They're supporting Zach over Simone Lawrence
It would be Simone Lawrence's decision to make the appeal, and the PA would have to submit it for him. So it's up to him. It's not necessarily up to the Players Association to make the appeal.
Clark has the tweet up on the screen right now. Good work, Clark. Taylor writing us on the Facebook feed. Did anyone see Lawrence hit Powell the play after in the back of the head? He should be out way longer. It's pathetic on the CFL's part to let this continue. Well, yes and no. You said earlier the chicken and the egg argument. It's Mike Riley said it best on Friday. It's something I've been saying for a long time and arguing with Arash Madani on this. The onus is on the players, not the league. And the only way to get the players to stand up and start respecting each other is if they're nailed to the cross for hits like this. And they haven't been. But the onus is on the players. I fully believe that.
You know what? I would like to agree with you, but unfortunately, that isn't how we seem to work as a society and as a human nature. Seatbelts were in cars for a long, long time, and we never wore them until the government came in and took over and said, you got to wear them. You're not treating yourself safe enough. And that's exactly like this. Players aren't going to do up their seatbelts unless they're made to do up their seatbelts. And that's why you have a governing body, and that's why you have a league, and that's why you have rules committees. And I would love to believe that the NHL would get away from headshots. I would love to believe that in Bantam, we'd get away from hitting from behind and checking from behind penalties. But nobody seems to do it until the governing body comes in and makes it a rule and polices it and comes down on them. And I agree with you, Rod. It should be the players, but it won't ever be the players. And that's not just the CFL. That's the NFL. That's the NHL. That's any league. That's why these governing bodies, the leagues, have to put these rules in place and have to come down hard on them because the players aren't going to do it.
Well, and you got
to
be aggressive, too. I think back to hockey and, you know, my dad was upset watching the penalties when we were going through the obstruction phase. Any little touch, any little tap was a penalty. But they went so over the top to make sure that you weren't grabbing onto people, your sticks weren't coming up, that you didn't have to hook them to get a penalty. And once people started keeping their sticks down, started keeping the gloves down, they weren't clutching and grabbing, then you can start to let those things go a little bit because it's not a problem. So if the league needs to come in and set a really big example here that we can't tolerate it and you got to go over the line when it comes to discipline, and then you can bring it back once the players adjust.
Drinking and driving.
Yeah.
We know it's bad. We know you're probably going to kill yourself or someone else. It still happens at an alarming rate. The government has to come in, and that's what this is.
How,
this is drinking and driving. That's
how Canadian of you, because in my mind, I'm thinking of why I love Phoenix, Arizona so much, and on the 101, you can go 120 mile an hour, and if you die, that's your problem. Keep your head up. Get in the game. They're not Big Brother looking over your shoulder there in the state of Arizona or Texas or Florida. That's why I love it so much. Police yourselves. It's kind of the anti of what you're saying right now.
And they
now,
have freeway shootings.
Fair. So does Toronto.
Yeah. I'm just saying. Like, I mean, yeah. You know, these things happen.
So, but we're talking about player safety. And I just think that you mentioned, where's the statement? Randy Ambrosi did send out a long statement on Monday on why they're handing down a 2-game suspension to Simone Lawrence. And they are not pleased with Simone Lawrence. So I think the league got it just right.
But
I really do.
But that's having... That's coming home late and having your mom have a conversation with you, or coming home late and your old man pulling down your pants and turning your butt red. Like, that's the difference right there. Don't do that again. Oh, you were a bad boy last night. You know, don't put your hand in the cookie jar, or your dad whacks your hand and says, keep your damn hand out of there. There's a difference. You can't just give these guys a talking to.
I think we just got a glimpse into the Myers household circa 80s and 90s.
Clark, and now we know why he's so fired
now
up.
Now we know
morning.
Why. Clark, how much time we have before the next break? Oh, 2-3 minutes. So on Monday, Riders head coach Craig Dickinson comes out and told the media after the practice that it will be a quarterback rotation between Isaac Harker and Cody Fajardo in Thursday night's game at Ottawa. And that decision by Coach Dickinson was, of course, like any statement from the head coach of the Saskatchewan Roughriders, dissected endlessly by the millions of citizens of the Rider Nation. My thoughts on that, if you got two quarterbacks, you don't have one. They know that. So it's kind of an audition here Thursday night in Ottawa. It's the quandary the Rough Riders find themselves in. I'll turn it over to you guys first, starting with you, Darren, the quarterback rotation, which nobody ever really likes. Ideally, you don't want to do that. Ideally, Craig Dickinson and Stephen McAdoo don't want to do that. But that's the position that they're in. Do you like it or do you not like it?
I don't like it, but I also wonder what type of rotation it actually is. Is it just what you're saying in the media, that you're going to give both guys a shot? Are you actually going to give each guy a series? I think it still matters who starts the game, and I think that'll be Cody Fajardo. I don't think there's any question that it won't be. So this protects, you know, the fans, keeps everybody happy. Now, Isaac Harker is still maybe the guy. It's bad news to start him. You have to start Cody Fajardo. You have to give him the opportunity to go out and, I mean, he earned the job at a camp. You can't take it away after a half of bad football when you get thrust into the game on play four. Right? That's tough on a guy. So that's important.
Even though that's what they want. That's what the player wants.
Right. Mm-hmm. The player wants to get in, but you got to protect the player from himself sometime. But I'll say this. I mean, who am I to argue about what Craig Dickinson's decision or mindset is and how he leads the team? I think he's doing a pretty good job so far. I'm not going to jump on that decision in week two.
I mean, as impressed as I was with Isaac Harker, we got to pump our brakes a little bit. I mean, it was, you know, kind of a half of football there, pretty limited. Once teams getting film on him, you know, what will it be? I am, for one, excited about them doing this. It's worked in the past for them. We've seen Burgess and Austin. We can go back to 2009, the Stephen Giles, Darian Durant. That was kind of a mixed in thing like that. You don't know who your guy is going to be. You don't have a number one. Yes, Cody Fajardo should start. He's ahead for sure. But what's the harm in it? I really don't see it. If Fajardo starts and is lighting it up and going up and down the field, you're probably not going to pull the guy. You got to leave that option open for you. But if it's not, you know, it's, you know, gain a little, lose a little, gain a little, why not mix it in? You don't really know what you got with these guys. I've got zero problem with it. Doing it on the road, I think, is also a good time. There's less scrutiny. There's less chance of, you know, the boos coming out or anything like that. You know, you don't have to worry about these guys' confidence being shaken in that way. I really don't have any problem with it. It does have a very distinct 2009 Kenny Miller. Honest,
oh, does it ever.
Honest to the bone. Craig Dickinson reminds me of that in certain ways. He's not out there to BS anybody. He didn't have to come out and say, we're going to do a rotation. He could have said, you know, Fajardo's our guy, even though he might have been thinking something. No, he just puts the cards out there, and he's going to let his guys line up and play. I have no problem with this at all right now.
No, I don't either. Again, as I said, this is ideally not what they wanted to do. But because it's the cards they've been dealt, this is the next best thing to do. And I'm with you guys. If Cody Fajardo comes out and he's the next Joe Montana Thursday night, then great for everybody. So, you know, and hopefully they can beat a pretty good Ottawa team. We'll talk about these and other things when we come back. Here's one thing I'd like to do. You brought up Coach Miller, Grandpa Miller. The other day he was watching this program from North Carolina.
He has Facebook?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's very active on Facebook. So we had viewers from Italy yesterday, and of course our friends in Norway, where the Rod Peterson Show is very big, right? 19 viewers every day. You had a
Vilkommen.
Good evening, Norway.
What was for dinner?
How was dinner?
That's what it was.
Ludafisk.
Right, it's as we come evening on the over air there in Norway right now. So we want to welcome them. So wherever you're watching from, can you just light up our Facebook feed? Coming back after the break with a sports update. We're also going to hear from Wes Cates in studio on the program today, CFL Hall of Famer Milt Stegall. You're watching The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listening at rodpeterson.com.
Your economic security does not lie in your job. It lies in your power to produce, to think, to learn, to create, to adapt. That is true financial independence. It's not merely having wealth. It's having the power to produce wealth. We are your power to produce wealth. We are your freedom to make your dreams your reality. We are your shield against uncertainty. We are your family's protector when you no longer can be. We are your assurance that the light you see at the end of the tunnel isn't a train. We are comfort, clarity, and peace of mind. We are your financial guardian angel. We are 2020 Wealth Management. We are all these things and more. And we welcome you. Come see us and prosper.
Oh, yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Tuesday morning sports update, a brief one just ahead of Milt Stegall, Canadian Football Hall of Famer. Gunfire broke out and a stampede ensued as fans celebrated at a rally for the NBA champion Raptors Monday, leaving four people shot, thousands fleeing less than a block from where the players and Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau sat on stage. Toronto police said three people were arrested and two guns were recovered. Better news, a big night for rookie Kevon Biggio. Despite the Blue Jays dropping a 10-5 decision against the Angels at Rogers Center, Biggio homered twice for the Jays, and Randall Grichuk also went deep in what was a disappointing night for pitcher Edwin Jackson. He failed to go a full inning, allowed three long balls and seven runs. Jays, Angels again tonight at Rogers Center. Well, let's go out to the video chat and welcome TSN's Milt Stegall. Bomber, great, joining us from, I'm guessing, Hotlanta this morning. Milt, where we got you at?
Yeah, that's where I'm joining you guys from. And Rod, you have to be special, because usually when I'm on television or air, whenever people can see me, I usually have my hair and makeup ready, but wasn't able to do it today, so you must be special.
Well, you know what? They told me that your good looks melted our video cam yesterday, so we had to do some updates. Mil, I got a lot to get to you with. You spend a lot of time in Toronto. What was your take on the parade and the events of yesterday?
Well, I mean, of course, the parade was something special. You know, that city, they were totally behind the Raptors. You saw fans who truly weren't basketball fans, but when they saw their local team come together, you know, get closer to a championship, you could just see the vibe in the city. Excuse me. But it's unfortunate, you know, that was somewhat dampened by the situation with the shooting of the guns and individuals getting injured. Hopefully there's nothing too severe and everyone, no one passes. But it's unfortunate that you have a few that can destroy something that special that very rarely happens in any city, let alone Toronto. So it's unfortunate. Hopefully, like I said, the individuals who did get shot, hopefully they're okay and no one passes or anything like that.
To football, Milt, and what were your takeaways from week one?
Well, there were a lot. You know, you had to start with the Rough Riders. You know, people were thinking that this was going to be their year. starting with the quarterback. You know, Zach Kolar's coming back. They said he had a great offseason. And they didn't need him to be spectacular. You didn't need him to put up Mike Riley or Bo Levi Mitchell numbers with that defense. You just need him to be average. And right now, I don't know if they have a quarterback in place who can be average. Let's be honest about it. Those guys just can't get it done. Unless something happens overnight, they're going to be in a world of trouble. They're hoping that maybe one of those guys can come out of the shadows and play well, or if they can sign someone else. Otherwise, they're going to have to lean heavily on that defense, more so than they did last year when they went 12-6, because at least they had somewhat of a serviceable quarterback last year. I don't think they have it with what they have on their roster now. Other big story is, of course, what happened in Hamilton with Simone Lawrence. And it's unfortunate that we have to get to that point, but we're in the business of protecting our hot commodities, and quarterbacks are hot commodities. You know, whatever league you play in, whatever level you play at, the talk is all about player safety. And right now we have to protect our players. I know defense are players also, but quarterbacks are hot commodities, and we have to do whatever we have to do to protect those guys.
Milt, when it comes to planning parades, it's been a while since the team very near and dear to your heart, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, have had it. But they looked good in week one, and a lot of people are thinking this could be their year. I know it's 1 week in, but is this a team that you could see, you know, injuries aside and staying healthy, that could be there at the end?
Well, let's hope so. You know, that city, those fans, they've waited so long. They've supported the Bombers through thick and thin, through everything. So more so than just for the players, past, present, future, whatever it may be, it's for those fans who deserve so much. Like you said, it was week one. We're expecting a lot of things out of the Bombers, but just week one, let's hold our horses. Let's put our foot on the brake and let's say, you know, they're ready to hoist the Grey Cup. They look good. They look good. And I think everything that happened for them in that game is what they want their team to look like the rest of the year. They don't need Matt Nichols to go out there and throw for a bunch of yards, because their bread and butter is what? Their running game. And that defense is strong. They added Willie Jefferson. They had Adam Big Hill. I think they still have a couple of wrinkles that they have to get ironed out within their defensive backcourt. But I think right now, if they can continue playing the way they looked this past weekend, they have a great opportunity of making it to the Grey Cup.
Milt, our Facebook feed's full of questions all morning about the Ryder quarterback situation with the two guys, and Craig Dickinson talking about a split and giving both guys time. What's that like for a receiver, for you, for the other guys on the offense, when you're dealing with backup quarterbacks or uncertainty at that position?
Well, as a veteran receiver, it can get difficult, because regardless how good you are, you can go out there and get open and run the best routes. But if you don't have a quarterback who can get you the ball, it's very frustrating. You know, you try to hold in that anger because you know you want your quarterback, especially a young guy, to be cool, calm, and collective as possible. And if you're on him in his ear telling him what he needs to do, that's not going to help out the situation. So it can be difficult. You know, you just want to try to make things as easy as possible. You don't want to complicate things. You might need to shave down your offensive game plan a little and ask that quarterback, what do you do best? What do you feel comfortable with when we step out on this field, when it's first and, you know, 10, second and long, second and medium? Whatever that guy feels comfortable with, you have to try to put those things into your game plan to make it easy as possible, because they're going to face some situations where they're going to be rattled. I mean, if you're a veteran, you're going to be rattled. But if you're a young guy who hadn't played much, who hadn't seen many defenses, you're going to be rattled. So as a veteran, whatever your standpoint is, you have to make sure you keep that young quarterback or that guy who hadn't had much playing time as calm as possible. That gives you your best chance of winning, because you don't want him to think that he has to go out there and have a big game to win the game, because that's very rarely going to happen. So you just make him understand, just stay calm, stay cool, regardless of what the situation is, and we have an opportunity to win in this game.
Good insight. Great question, Darren. Two quick ones for you, Milt, to end it off. Our poll question today is, what's your game of the week? What's Canada's game? Saskatchewan at Ottawa, BC at Edmonton, or Toronto at Hamilton? What's yours? What's the game that's got you most hot and bothered this week?
Well, I think most of Canada would say, you know, BC. BC at Saskatchewan because of Mike Riley going back to Edmonton, or even Hamilton and Toronto because of their, you know, their rivalry. But Ottawa, Saskatchewan is going to say a lot. When we saw what Ottawa did last year, where Dom Davis threw four interceptions and they were still able to win the game, that defense basically saying a lot. And then you got Saskatchewan right now where they're going to say, okay, our defense can win us games. And can we get enough out of our quarterback? So that game's right there adds more intrigue than anything. I know those other games may be more high power and you may get more points out of them. But this next game between Saskatchewan and Ottawa is going to say a lot. Saskatchewan, they play in the West. We know how tough the West is compared to the East. If they're going to start their season off losing to two Eastern teams, it's going to be a tough battle in the West. So that game between Saskatchewan and Ottawa, it has more intrigue than those other two games to me.
Wow. Lastly, Milt, Abu Meshrick was devastated. We couldn't get you on yesterday. Our fault, not yours. From the guy that you once said, it's a shame you have to wear a mask because you're so beautiful. Abu said, and I know this to be true, you are such a humble, great guy. What people love about this show is we're real and we're honest here, Milt. Basically, Abu saying you're acting on TV with all the bravado and all the this and that. You're a really good dude, man. Are you acting on TV?
You have to market yourself to some degree, and that's what I do. You know, when I'm in front of the camera, when I'm talking to you guys, it's all about marketing. You know, you have to have a big personality, and you guys know this more than anyone. If you don't have a big personality, if you don't have some type of bravado, some type of mystery to yourself, you don't have some type of, you know, you have to be somewhat confident, cocky to a certain degree to be on TV. So that's what I bring. But off camera, I'm a great guy. I think I am. You know, I'm humble. I'm giving anything in the world for anyone. But when I'm on camera, I have to add that mystique. And my wife sees me sometimes. She was like, what are you doing? What are the things you're saying? But when she goes out shopping all the time, she understands why I'm saying these things. So
I gotcha. Milt, hey, I look forward to seeing you on the road. I think we lost you. Milt, you're the best, man. Thanks for this, and enjoy the games.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right, and they call him the Turtle Man because of his abs. That's what Ab said.
Looks like when you flip a turtle over on the back?
That's what a boot.
Really?
Looks like the top of the turtle. Yeah. So anyways, there's Milt Stegall. He's a super guy. I really enjoy his visits. And same thing with my wife. I come home and she's like, what are you saying on there? People seem to like it. Milt gets it. So what did his vote was Riders Red Blacks? He said that was Canada's game.
He sold it too.
Yeah, he said it had the most intrigue, and it does. I mean, Ottawa's game last week when they beat Calgary and played so well defensively. We had Marcel Desjardins on this program on Friday, and I mentioned this, that Lynch was just grilling him about, you know, all the turnover and not keeping the star players, Sir Vincent Rogers and Greg Ellingson and William Powell and Trevor Harris, and, you know, not paying the money. He said, no, we're just not paying that type of price. We want to make sure we have depth and skill throughout the lineup. Well, who are we to argue? They played pretty well against Calgary, and you're right, or he's right. You know, the Riders are in tough. They can't go 0-2 out east. It's going to make things really difficult. I mean, it's a long season. We have teams come back from much worse starts. Look at the BC Lions, right, of years past. It's not that big of a deal, but it's very tough on the mental side to go 0-2. So, yeah, there's a lot at stake there. You know, there's a lot of intrigue throughout the rest of the games. The Hamilton-Toronto game, which I know you liked, I think that probably... He skimmed over it pretty quick. I don't know that there's a lot of interest in that one out here.
No. Well, let's just remember where the bulk of our viewers are.
Who's the quarterback
Western
in Toronto again?
Western Canada. The quarterback, I believe, will be James Franklin in that football game on Saturday. I was just saying Toronto Hamilton's Canada's game of the week to try and have a nationalistic view of the league. Not just staying in Western Canada, but...
That's nice of you to include Toronto. They don't include us very often.
Our poll here is a runaway. BC Lions at the Edmonton Eskimos are the game of the week. And this should not surprise anybody. Last week's Canada's game was the BC Lions home to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Now, most of the games were good. One of the former Rider scouts texted me from the States. He's like, all the games were good. And the sports doctor said the same thing. And I'm like, no, they weren't. They weren't all good. Just because they went down to the wire doesn't mean they're good. Right. The Edmonton-Montreal game was a bit of an eyesore. But anyways, the BC Lions, back-to-back weeks, are in Canada's game of the week. And I said going into the season, the BC Lions would be the hottest ticket in the CFL this year for whatever reason. Mike Riley, Daron Carter, they got the pizzazz, the chutzpah. And I like that. Does that mean they're the best team in the CFL? No. Winnipeg Blue Bombers are the best team in the CFL as we sit here today, right? And they beat the BC Lions on Saturday night.
I'd be interested to see how the BC Lions, from a marketing standpoint, parlay this season. I mean, you clearly are invested. You're a CFL guy, but you find them very intriguing. And in a market right now where the Vancouver Canucks are definitely on a down, you don't hear a lot about the Whitecaps right now. Like, it does seem like an opportune time for a bit of a resurgence in BC, especially with a Mike Riley, a Daron Carter, some of these personalities who can play. You know, if they can finish top two in the West and get on a little bit of a marketing role, it might just be a year where they can reclaim some of that. A
lot of change in BC. They got some things to figure out. I want your thoughts on Dallas Eakins in a moment, so formulate those. Hang on. But just in BC, there was 18,000 in change, the announced attendance for the home opener Saturday night. That's not going to cut it in BC. Got a lot of great friends, obviously, with the Lions, and also a lot of Lions fans that I follow on Twitter. They're upset at the media. The stories in the Lower Mainland and the newspapers and the TV was how bad the attendance was, not how great the game was. And if you start reporting on that, that's just low-hanging fruit. That shame on yourselves, Vancouver media, if that's what you're reporting. And the other thing that I saw was people saying the ticket prices were too much.
Oh, well.
$60 and $90 per ticket to go. You turn on the TVs, your TV, and you see all these games in the CFL across Canada, and what do you see? Empty seats. That's bad.
Yeah,
ticket prices need to be lower. That will be the first step to the resurgence of the CFL. Now, I don't know if the Ducks have officially announced it yet, but yeah, Dallas Eakins is going to be the head coach of the Anaheim Ducks. I got a text yesterday from a hockey coach saying, what do you think? When he coached the Oilers, to call them a grease fire would be an insult to grease fires. They were so bad, and I watched them live. Like five guys in the corner going after the puck like an Adam game. Maybe that wasn't Dallas Eakins' fault. Maybe that's the fault of the Edmonton Oilers' crappy culture. Maybe the GM at the time didn't stand up for Dallas Eakins. I'm not sure. Dave Tippett, I'm told, will be on with us in hour two, the new coach of the Oilers. But I guess the Ducks are willing to give Dallas Eakins a second chance.
Well, facts are the guy's been successful everywhere he's been except for Edmonton.
Like everybody else.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's good that the guy's getting a second shot in the league. Interesting. There is some aged players on that team.
The window's closed, I think.
Yeah, but so there, it is a time where we're going to see some turnover in personnel on the Ducks. I mean, with the Getzlaffs, the Perrys, guys like that setting to move out. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he fits that dynamic. It is good for a guy I would hate for somebody to have their entire career painted by the brush that is when you are the Edmonton Oilers.
It happens.
Ralph Kruger's back as well. Highly regarded guy in every circle, except for when he was in Edmonton. That seems to be the common denominator.
Todd McClellan.
But yeah, credit the guys. Same thing. He started in the American League, gets his shot, doesn't work out, goes back to the American League.
Does it again.
Yeah. And now he gets another opportunity. So
I think he's
doing all the right things.
Well,
and you
here's
wish him
another
well.
One. Here's the one.
Like handling plutonium without gloves.
It's true, though. But what I also heard is that Eakins didn't have buy-in of the alumni. And you know what?
You wouldn't
think that's important. That's important. And speaking of alumni, the Wes Cates is on the sponsor's couch right now. He's coming in after the break. He is, of course, the Riders' second all-time leading rusher. He's a Hall of Famer and a big part of the Rider alumni. Chris Jones never had the buy-in of the alumni. Part of that was Jones' fault. But we'll talk about all things Rider with the Wes Cates coming up. You're watching The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listening live at rodpeterson.com.
One of the things that I'm also running into lately is people who have been declined for marijuana use in the past.
Brian Baker with youareinsurable.ca.
Insurers will decline you for more than just your health. They'll decline you for your lifestyle. And in the past, any type of marijuana use over 2 grams a week is going to send red flags up to traditional insurers, because for those people who are suffering from chronic pain, other illnesses such as Crohn's colitis or depression for that matter that have used marijuana as a treatment, they're probably using more than a couple of grams a week. Now we have legalized marijuana in the country, but don't expect the traditional insurers to have made that change to their underwriting policy. But I do have an insurer that will take care of the client.
If you've been declined due to cannabis, you are still insurable. Don't wait. Talk to Brian today. Brian specializes in finding critical illness, life, and disability insurance for hard-to-insure people just like you. Book your no-cost, confidential, risk-free consultation at youareinsurable.ca.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca. Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.